from WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Wednesday, June 15th. Coming up, sickle cell patients face a double whammy, systemic racism, and a crippling disease. We'll learn more from Side Effects Public Media's Fada Yousri in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. The Illinois Department of Natural Resources is relaunching a land conservation program for farmers, ranchers, and other landowners in 68 counties. Enrollment starts today. Mawa Iqbal reports.
Participants will convert cropland and pastures to native grasses and wildlife habitats, improving the soil and water quality. They will be compensated for removing their land from production. Department Director Colleen Callahan says the program is for people with land that's prone to flooding and nutrient runoff.
If you're in an area that floods 3 years out of six, probably think, I wonder what I could do to assure myself that I have a more consistent income from this property.
90,000 acres were included in the program before it closed in 2015 due to the state budget impasse. I'm Mawa Iqbal.
Caterpillar did not receive or request any incentives to relocate its world headquarters from Illinois to Texas. That's according to a corporate spokesperson. The company announced yesterday its plans to shift its headquarters from suburban Deerfield to the Dallas-Fort Worth area later this year. The spokesperson says 230 positions in Deerfield will shift to Irving, Texas over time. The company moved its electrical power division to Irving last year. More than 12,000 Caterpillar employees still work in the Peoria area after the company announced it was relocating its headquarters to Deerfield in 2017. In a statement, Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker says he's disappointed by the company's decision, but says the company's manufacturing plant in Decatur remains its largest in North America. Champaign is hosting its annual Juneteenth Festival at Douglas Park on Saturday. Illinois Newsroom's Emily Hayes has more.
On Saturday, Champaign residents will celebrate the end of slavery at Douglas Park with a bouncy house, photo booth, basketball tournament, small business fair, and more. Champaign Park District Coordinator Robert White helped organize the Juneteenth event. He remembers the first time he learned about Juneteenth from his fraternity brother in college.
It was shocking because it's something that I literally did not know and was, you know, somewhat remiss that I hadn't been celebrating it because it was such an impactful part of our history, a part of American history.
White says he's excited that President Biden's decision in 2021 to make Juneteenth a federal holiday is spreading awareness locally. Saturday's event will take place from noon to 3 p.m. at Douglas Park. I'm Emily Hayes, Illinois Newsroom.
The Parkland College Board of Trustees tonight could fill the vacancy created by the death of former U.S. Representative Tim Johnson. The News-Gazette reports that the board will consider appointing Brad Yukin to that seat at tonight's meeting. Yukin is a Parkland graduate and ran for the college's Board of Trustees last year, falling just a few hundred votes short of election. He's the manager of the Champaign County Farm Bureau. Yukin is a native of Rantoul who currently lives in Mahomet. Johnson died last month at the age of 75. Still to come, a look at problems faced by patients with sickle cell disease. That story from Side Effects Public Media is coming up next on 217 Today.
Masterpiece's Ridley Road was inspired by the startling rise of neo-Nazis in the midst of the swinging 1960s London culture. Starring newcomer Agnes O'Casey as Vivian Epstein, the series tells the story of a young Jewish hairdresser who secretly infiltrates the British neo-Nazi hierarchy. Her loyalties are soon tested as she risks her life for love and country. Learn how you can stream the entire series right now at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. Sickle cell disease is the most common genetic disorder in the U.S. It affects nearly 100,000 people, but is often overlooked when it comes to resources. Side Effects Public Media's Fada Yousri reports many believe that's because the vast majority of sickle cell patients are Black.
Gary Gibson heads the nonprofit Martin Center Sickle Cell Initiative in Indianapolis. The group provides social services and other non-clinical support to patients. Gary is 69 and has been doing this work for nearly four decades. It all started when he met a girl at a mixer in college.
Basically, as soon as we met, you know, she said, my name is Brenda. I have sickle cell disease, just like that. I was like, sickle what?
At the time, he had no clue what sickle cell disease was, but he had plenty of clues that Brenda Williams was the girl of his dreams.
I'll never forget the very first time that I saw her in crisis. It just tore my heart right out of my chest.
Sickle cell causes red blood cells to change from the regular donut shape into the shape of a banana or a sickle and clump together. That makes it harder to flow and carry oxygen to major organs and could trigger excruciating pain crises like the one Brenda had that day. Gary remembers rushing to visit Brenda in the hospital. He sat down beside her, put his hand on the hospital bed, which made the bed move just a tiny bit.
And she screamed and hollered and said, "Don't do that," in a very, very strong voice. And I was like, "Don't do what?" And she was like, "Don't touch the bed, it hurts." And to think about the fact that she was in that much pain and watch how it was tearing her apart, it started tearing me apart.
Every sickle cell patient is different, but one thing in common, chronic pain is the soundtrack to their lives. U.S. physicians first understood sickle cell disease over a century ago. The genetic disorder quickly became labeled as a black disease. Some say that's why progress to manage and treat it has been slow. You could say sickle cell patients face a double whammy of structural racism. Being black means they're part of a group that's been handed the short end of the stick for generations when it comes to education and wealth accumulation. And the disease itself is debilitating, which makes it hard for many of them to complete school or keep a job. So more than half of all sickle cell patients are on some kind of public insurance, which typically pays doctors less than private insurers. As a result, fewer doctors choose to specialize in it, says Dr. Sophie Lanskron. She's a sickle cell disease physician at Johns Hopkins University.
You can't just put up a shingle and open your door and say, "I'm a sickle cell doc," and expect to make a living.
So it's mostly big academic centers like Hopkins that can sustain it. And that leaves proper care out of reach for most patients. The way we treat sickle cell patients today is like telling someone with cancer to get care from a non-specialist or the ER instead of an oncologist. Lanskron says it's inadequate and unethical, yet many sickle cell patients do end up in the emergency rooms. And there,
people just assume, sickle, you throw some opioids, IV fluids, whatever, and you're done. But, you know, the disease is a lot more complicated.
She says for other diseases that are as complex, ER doctors know to call up a specialist. But that often doesn't happen for sickle cell patients, like Tanika Hoffman. She recalls the day stress about her grad school midterm triggered a pain crisis that landed her at a nearby hospital in Philadelphia.
My health deteriorated, could barely move, super weak. My family had to drive up from Maryland to discharge me against medical advice.
Her family transferred her to another hospital where she received better care. But by that point, her hip bone had died.
I like to explain it as like taking your finger and like slamming it in your car door repeatedly, right? And then going to the hospital and being told, "You're not in pain. You're a liar. You're a drug addict." And then sitting hours in excruciating pain and then hoping that someone would take pity on you.
This is common, says Marsha Treadwell. She's a psychologist and a sickle cell researcher at the University of California, San Francisco. She says black patients are often denied care because of implicit bias and individual racism. But the underlying problem is more systemic.
So if you compare sickle cell disease with cystic fibrosis, and cystic fibrosis affects about 30,000 people who are primarily white, and sickle cell disease affects 100,000 people who are primarily black and brown, the funding disparity is 10 times more to cystic fibrosis from federal funding.
And the disparity is way worse for philanthropic funding. Treadwell says this slows down research and means less data is available for medical guidelines to help sickle cell patients get proper care. Gary's wife, Brenda, was part of a clinical trial in the 80s for the first ever drug to help manage sickle cell disease. The drug hydroxyurea got FDA approval in the late 90s. It took 20 years before another drug was approved. Too little, too late for Brenda. Sickle cell patients in the U.S. typically die before the age of 50. Gary lost Brenda to sickle cell even earlier. She was 36.
She was actually carrying twins when she passed away, and we lost both of them. And so from my standpoint, sickle cell has taken three lives for me. That's why I'm a fighter for it, for people that have it.
Part of that fight is for social justice, to make things more equitable for sickle cell patients today, and hopefully spare others the grief of losing someone they love far too soon. Farah Hisri, SideFX Public Media.
And finally, in your forecast, an excessive heat warning remains in effect for our area until 8 o'clock tonight. Meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says it will be sunny and hot today with a high of 98 degrees. That's it for today. Reporting today contributed by Mawa Iqbal, Tim Shelley, Emily Hayes, and Fadi Yusri. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.